GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
All right, so the Super 8's coming to an end this weekend. The lay of the land is that Dublin and Galway are assured of their places in the All-Ireland semi-finals, which takes place the weekend after next, and Kildare and Roscommon out of the running. So in Group 2, Tyrone and Donegal will do battle in Ballybuffet on Sunday in a winner-takes-all clash. We look ahead to that on tomorrow evening's Off the Ball with Brian McGuigan and Brendan Devenny. This evening, we're going to look ahead to Saturday's games. Galway against Monaghan in Pearse Stadium and Kerry taking on Kildare down in Killarney. Both those games throwing in at 6 o'clock. The former Kildare and Wexford manager, Jason Ryan, is on the line. Evening, Jason.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
And David Brady is back in studio as well. DB, do you want to run through the permutations for the weekend, or will I?
You know what? Is there a lucky bag I can put my hand into?
So in this group, if Galway and Monaghan draw, both teams will go through. Galway on top, which means they'd avoid an All-Ireland semi-final against Dublin. If Monaghan win, they will top Group 1. Kerry need to beat Kildare to give themselves any chance of going through. But they also need Monaghan to lose against Galway Pearse Stadium and hope that there is a 6-point swing in scoring difference in the process. And there's also the possibility that teams end up on the exact same score, points scored, everything, and we need a playoff, but it's too complicated to get into that. We'll face that on Saturday night if it comes to it.
That'd be a disaster.
Are you up to date with everything then?
That's
you happy
good.
With that?
I'm good to go.
Let's start with Galway against Monaghan. Jason, Kevin Walsh saying that he's not going to rest his marquee players, even though that they're going to be out within the week for an All-Ireland semi-final. Are we at the stage now with Galway where they've answered pretty much every question about their All-Ireland credentials? An impressive league campaign, they've beaten Mayo, Roscommon, Kerry, Monaghan in the Championship already. Do you see them as the real deal?
Yeah, absolutely. I think both defensively and offensively, like, they have an awful lot to offer. Around the middle of the field, they have big men if they need to win the ball in the air. They're very mobile. And one thing that they definitely have is just a savage work ethic and desire to work for each other and support each other. Like, when you see a forward of the quality of Comer going back into his own half back line and working like a dog to turn over the opposition. And that's been something that they've shown since the start of the National League. It's something that they've had all the way through the year. So for me, they are the real deal. But for Kevin, it must be a bit of a challenge for him, because they know that they are where they're at points wise, and that if somebody gets injured or something happens, like, he's going to be not just focus. You know the way people talk about it? It's all about the next game, but it won't be just about the Monaghan game. They know there's another game afterwards, so they're going to have to be aware of that as well, and that's a distraction.
Yeah, the mentality then, David, do you see that playing a factor, that Galway, they don't have one foot in an All-Ireland semi-final, they're there?
Yeah, and again, you want to be there with your best team, and as Jason says, there's so many fears, and the fear is that you don't really want to go in. They'd be the only team in history to go in to an Ireland semi-final after losing a game. Mm. I think it's such a kind of a build-up. Like, it's been busy. They've had their 2-week break, but that's it. There's the gap, I think, is one of the down points of the Super 8. That's only a week. Like, the following weekend, you're out. Whatever is on about the Galway races, but the amount of work that's been done and from backroom teams, from everyone, because no one really knows who they're playing. They know when they're playing, but the permutations is you need to have stats, you need to have things ready to go on Monday night, Monday evening, from a management point of view.
Backroom. And that favours the bigger teams?
It favours the bigger teams.
The teams with the most resources.
Yeah. Well, look, at the end of the day, they have continuous updates on teams. They've been playing the National League. Galway have played all these teams, Monaghan, Dublin, they're all Division 1 teams. Tyrone. So it's just, you're just adding to the extra layer that you've built up over whether it's 12 months or 24 months. Mm. The reality is you want to be staying away from Dublin, and Galway, they're not going to have, I can't see it having the luxury of 25 minutes to go and saying, you know what, let's take off Comer, let's take off Bradshaw, let's take off Daly or someone. You'll have to keep your full complement on, because this game is going to be massively competitive. And from both sides, it's going to be saying who's going to stay in the restroom the longest. Because if you have a 5-minute or a 7-minute cushion, it can translate into 15 minutes of football, And if you know that a certain team, one of the, like, both of them will throw up at six, but who's going to come out of the restroom at the very latest that they can? Mm. Because you could have, and that 15 minutes could be vital, because you know what? You're saying to yourself, we don't need to win by X. Actually, you know what? Curry have lost. There's no. So it's take off.
Relax.
Well, you know what? It is, and it's going to be a constant vigil for both teams.
Jason, you mentioned the work rate in this Galway side and the intensity that they played a game. In all those games against Mayo, Roscommon, Kerry, Monaghan, they're actually all pretty tight games at half time, and then Galway kick on in the second half. Are they just, when you look at them, an incredibly fit bunch of players, or is it that they have a style of play that tends to wear the opposition down?
I think I'm not sure if it's probably part of both of those, but for me the biggest part is that there's a willingness to work. Each player understands their role, understands what's expected of them, and they go and they do it. So as a forward, yes, you're expected to score or create scores, but also when we're not in possession of the ball, we need you to do X, Y, and Z. And they're doing it, you know, and they're doing it in spades. And then another thing that's definitely helping them in the second half of games is that they're bringing in players that are adding value to the game. There's fresh legs. And in Gaelic football, if you bring in a fresh forward, in anyone even around the middle of the field, anyone in the middle eight, if there's somebody with fresh legs coming out on and they're taking on somebody that's already played 50, 55 minutes of a high-intensity game, it's an unfair advantage, like it is. And so the opposition then maybe have to react to it and put on somebody themselves to try to counteract those fresh legs. And, you know, not everybody necessarily has some of the depth that Galway have at the moment. That they're playing well, they have good depth, they have marquee fours that are scoring, they've some free takers that are proving themselves to be consistent week in, week out. They have a lot of pluses.
Mm. David, it was mentioned there about Damien Comer isn't afraid to drop very, very deep. Likewise, Shane Walsh will pop up in the halfback line from time to time. When things aren't going well, you very quickly get criticised for that, for being too negative. But in a game like this, where Monaghan are probably going to double up on Damien Comer, is there a dual benefit that you're getting him involved more and actually he's dragging players well out of position if he's dropping deep? Or would you prefer him just to see him close to the Monaghan goal where he can do more damage?
The dual benefit is one man, and it's Ian Burke. For me, and it's perfect from a Galway perspective, but it won't happen. You know, the reality is, and the stats show it, I think there was a stat on Don Fowl on Twitter last night saying the one player throughout the Super 8s in the Championship that has been involved, whether it's the last pass before a score, an assist for a score, or taking a score, is Ian Burke. He has been involved in something like 32% of Galway's scores.
And that is a direct correlation, you see, of the focus being on Comer?
Well, it's a certain part of it, yes, because Comer is going to attract attention. And again, he doesn't mind dropping deep because he has a good work ethic and he's a good, strong tackler. So you're looking at yourself, you know what, who is getting on the ball? Who is the link? And again, you have the pace and you have the strength coming forward. So if you have Shane Walsh coming forward with the pace that he has, and we've seen it in certain occasions, that's an added benefit. Mm. And again, it's not new to them. The way they've been playing is, and this is, be very comfortable when you get the ball around your own 40-yard line and don't be afraid to take on. Because if we do get it, it means we have a turnover. And again, teams are building on turnovers, and they're not just taking it as, oh, well done, that was a good disposition or a good tackle. They're actually using it to the advantage to create a platform for an attack. But for me, Ian Burke is the likes of Comer and Walsh have taken a lot of the spotlight and the pressure, but he's definitely going to be of a focus on at the weekend.
Jason, do you look at Ian Burke's role and the influence that he has on games, that's a very deliberate ploy that they've identified, that the likes of Shane Walsh and Damien Comer are taking up an awful lot of the focus of defence? And for a guy in Ian Burke's position who wasn't even assured of his place probably at the start of the year, certainly going back to last year, that he goes under the radar, the teams aren't noticing him, and suddenly they know the talent he has, he can fully express that.
Yeah, but I think in the forwards, they have guys that have, you know, totally different roles. That Ian Burke is not necessarily the primary ball winner. He's not there to make the initial run. If Gar Bradshaw wins the ball in the half-back line, that Comer's maybe a longer ball. He'll win a higher percentage of 50-50 or 40-60 balls. Whereas Ian Burke is picking up balls off of Comer. He's picking up balls off of other players when they go to contact. He's really mobile, very, very clever. He changes direction very fast. He's comfortable turning left and right. And when he gets the ball, he's looking to offload pretty fast. And in addition to that, if he sees a gap, he'll go for it. And if he gets an opportunity to take a shot at the post, he'll do so. But he's a real link player. So for Kevin Walsh, the team that he's put together, he has a team that's set up that can defend and work hard in numbers. They'll work hard for each other. But when they do turn over the ball, like David said, they will break at incredible speed. So they're very, very, very mobile right through the team. And so then if you have your very direct players like Homer, you need to have the guys that will kind of give those little small short passes or help to create a little gap. Because Monaghan, like all the other teams, when they're not in possession of the ball, they will get bodies back. There's not going to be an awful lot of space. So you need people with Burke's kind of subtlety. Like, he plays in a very, very cultured, subtle manner and show, like, his skills are outstanding. But probably the biggest skill he has is, or the biggest trait that he has that's of massive benefit to the team is his head, his awareness of his surroundings. I remember reading something about Arsene Wenger, that he used to do analysis of his central midfield players. And with Fabregas, one thing that he loved with Fabregas was that his awareness of what was going around the pitch was better than most others. And the way that they tried to track it was by how many times he scanned and how many times he was looking around the pitch. When he was out of possession, so when he got the ball, he already knew where he was going to give it because he had scanned the pitch so many times. And that's like something that Burke seems to have. He's really aware of what's going on around him.
Jason, then, we're talking up Galway, and rightly so, by what they've done. But when teams are sitting down, and when Monaghan are sitting down this week and they're heading towards an All-Ireland semi-final, potentially against Dublin or potentially against Donegal and Tyrone, like, what's the weak link? Where's the one area, from what you've seen of Galway this year, the teams can actually attack them?
Well, I think the weak link is that they don't have to win. You know, that's the big one. Like, that's in the back of their heads. So regardless of how they play, David said a moment ago about, you know, the team that comes out at 6 o'clock, you know, what frame of mind are they going to be and whatnot. Monaghan have to win. You know, that's their trump card. It's a must that everybody that's played Gaelic football at championship level, it's about having to win. When you get to an All-Ireland quarter-final, All-Ireland semi-final, there's no second chance. There's no there's no back door. It's about here and now. And having that level of pressure adds to performance, it adds to the intensity, it adds to the focus that you need to have. So the Monaghan people, players, they're all talking to each other, they're talking to their family, friends. It's all about having to win the game. The Galway guys, they're going around, they're talking to people, and part of the conversation is going to be, I wonder who's going to be in the semi-final. And I'm back to that distraction thing again, but I think that that's the big weakness. And I think Kevin Walsh and his backroom team, that's their biggest job this week, making sure that the guys stay focused on having to perform and win this one.
David, we all know how good Conor McManus is, possibly the best forward in the country, kicked 1-9 against Kerry the last time out. But when you look at the two forward lines, is the difference between the two that with Monaghan, Conor McCarthy, maybe, and Jack McCarron, players like that, aren't as able to take advantage of Conor McManus being double-marked? And if Conor McManus is forced out of a game, in comparison to the Galway players who seem well able, if Damien Comer doesn't have the influence, the other guys know how to take advantage of the extra space. Is that a maturity thing? Is it an awareness thing? Is it fair?
Yeah, I suppose it's a point, but again, these guys have purposely played to create space for Conor McManus. It just doesn't happen that, oh, it's very naive of a team not to double team. They put in the work and they put in the runs to say, you know what, let's be unselfish and make the runs for Conor McManus. I think a big thing is the likes of Carol O'Connell and Vinnie Corey they're vital, because you have to have, and at certain times you have to have an attack and half back line if teams are double marking your main man, or there's a lot of numbers back in defence. You've got to start pulling them out a bit. You've got to start making them think, and that's where your half forwards and sometimes your midfielders make the surge and runs. But again, we seen it from the throw in the last day against Kerry. First ball, McManus, and it's you cannot give someone of that quality. And I think, you know, it's the permutations and everything else. I think it's a crying shame that someone like him hasn't played on one of the biggest days in football, which is an All-Ireland semi-final, for a man of his quality. And I suppose the way he carries himself as well, on and off the pitch, he's going to be a big focus for Galway. And how do you stop him? And again, a major advantage for me from a Galway perspective, and they didn't have someone like Sean Andy O'Kelly, and I would be looking at him taking up, taking kind of wouldn't necessarily put him on him, but if you put O'Kelly on him, He is a phenomenally tight marker. But then again, you have the other thing, and it's going, do you put a man that is one black card away from getting a suspension on someone that needs a little bit of...
Is that the one area where actually Kevin Walsh maybe needs to be somewhat pragmatic and think about this and leave him off? Because McManus is so good, you can be as disciplined as you want and as focused. One slip here, one slip there, and you're out of an All-Ireland semi-final.
You're going to need O'Kelly on for whatever period of the game. But do you risk him? Because just the natural instinct of a player, and it's in a split second that you pull a guy down that's bearing in on goal, and you're that's it. But I think it's too much of a risk really to put O'Kelly on him as such. And again, you'd be cognizant of it from a Monaghan perspective. Maybe Conor McManus will actually go on Mark O'Kelly, and make, you know, if you're going 1-on-1 and you're going at him, you can dictate from the opposite. It's not always the defensive team to dictate, because again, if McManus goes on O'Kelly, you're putting your lane down the gauntlet, and you have a little bit extra step or two when you know a guy is on that kind of a walk on the line like that.
We haven't mentioned Rory Beggan yet. Between Beggan and McManus, they scored 113 against Kerry. Monaghan only scored 117. It's a hell of a scoreline to rack up between the two of them, and he's also lethal with his kickouts. Like we saw in last year's Connacht final that Galway really struggled with the Roscommon kickouts at times in that game. Now they seem to fix that. They've changed their midfield quite substantially. But is that an area where Monaghan can get at Galway, or does everybody now know what Rory Beggan's doing? Figure him out.
I still can't figure him out. And I know Jason played in and around the middle. To see a kickout going 70 yards, dropping on a 45-yard line, was for me phenomenal. And it wasn't just about it was trajectory, it was everything else. I thought he had an absolutely, I seen things that I never seen before on a football pitch. But I do have to say it, that the reality is that in the second half, when there was easier opportunities that were taken in the first half, there was free kicks, there was three kickouts out of six that went astray in a crunch time. And that's where you probably have to revert to basics. And it's not about, and I'm not saying that he tried to do the spectacular, but it's about getting back to bread and butter. And I don't think Monaghan would have been in the situation they are now coming into this weekend if one of them, or two of them definitely, right. Which were very kickable from a man of his skill.
Jason, the sheer distance that Rory Beggan can get from his kickouts then, does that alter the way that Galway have to line up?
It may do, you know, but I'd imagine the likes of Tom Flynn will be just delighted if there's a few balls kicked high in the air. He'll just, all 6'5" of them will enjoy dealing with it. But Rory Beggan, part of the challenge is he going to kick long? Is he going to kick short? It's very hard to judge him on his run-up, because his run-up, his approach to the ball is so short. He's able to generate so much force from just 2-3 steps and just launch the ball. So the positioning of the Galway midfielders and the Galway halfbacks is quite a challenge. They're going to be kept on their toes, but there's so much talk about him, and there's so much of an expectation on his performance that maybe that'll help focus the guys around the middle of the park to be alert for what he's actually going to do. I think for his place kicking, Pier Stadium, I don't know what the weather is going to be like. Pier Stadium is a windy spot. He's somebody that uses the wind to kick, but on less windy conditions, he kicks the ball so straight and so through that he doesn't necessarily use the wind to kind of move the ball for him as much as maybe some other people do, like the likes of Brian Sheehan, another kind of long kick specialist. So it'll be, it's. I don't think it's necessarily the easiest venue for long-range free takers.
Right, so he's more like a links golfer. He likes to keep it under the wind.
You know what, Salt Hill, as Jason said, it's a toss of a coin.
And
it's
not the most beautiful place in the world.
It's always beautiful, but... anytime you go playing in Galway, you just make sure you have a little bit of extra hair gel, because it was never you were never going to come out with the same style as you went as you went in, because it's and it mightn't suit the likes of Rory Beggan, because it can deter. Say if there is a wind blowing into the Salt Hill end and they're playing against it, well then it's you know, your whole yardage and everything else is taken out of it, and it's going to be a fascinating game. But there's so much at stake, and it's a whole new conundrum. With one, you have one foot in the semi final, no matter what you do from a goal perspective. But the reality is, you want to avoid the All Ireland champions.
None of this might matter if Kerry don't get the job done against Kildare down in Killarney. Jason, I guess because of Kerry's tradition, we're sort of hardwired to expect that when they survive as they did up in Clonus in the last minute, that they blossom from there, they kick on, and that was the scare that they needed. But this is a Kerry side who we saw last year in an All-Ireland semi-final against Mayo, who fell pretty flat, who defensively were shambles. They made a lot of changes against Monaghan, not all of them worked. Is it just a possibility that this Kerry side aren't good enough to reach an All-Ireland semi-final?
Yeah, there seems to be, you know, a huge weight of expectation on their shoulders or something. I don't know what it is, but they looked so nervous the last day out. First half, they just didn't look, you know, they were looking for nearly scores against the run of play, and Monaghan, you know, anyone that's watching the game, sure, Monaghan should have been out of sight by halftime. You know, they just didn't take enough scoring opportunities. So I think probably everybody involved is just so relieved that they got a point. It's not talking about after losing another game. It's now a case of, right, we're still in there. Let's build on this now and let's go at it. The fact that the game is at home, sure, it's a massive advantage, but it just probably leads to greater expectation of the Kerry public on the lads to perform, and that level of expectation can be a really positive thing, or it can be something if the game doesn't go according to plan at the start. If you know, some of the Kildare runners or the likes of Paddy Brophy or Niall Kelly or some of these guys get a few really early scores and put Kerry on the back foot, it's not a position that Eamon Fitzmaurice wants to be in. Kerry need a good start. You know, they really do need a good start just to get pressure off everybody there, both him, his management team, and then, more importantly, like the guys that are on the pitch.
Because you're right, Jason, and again, they need a good start and they need a good 45 minutes. Because the reality is, in the last 15 minutes, you're not a point up. You're 4 points down. And your whole psyche and your whole way, you're going, we are up, you can't go defensive, because the reality is you're going to start needing goals at that stage if you need to win by six. Mm. You know, it's 2 points up or 3 points up with 2 minutes to go is no good to you. And your whole, you know, it's always going to be in the back
and
of the
And they're in a favourable position in that they're playing a Kildare side who, and you talk about teams making history, probably the first team in history to go into a game in the All-Ireland Championship and literally have nothing to play for. If they win this game, they're going out no matter what. But to get into the position where they're even a point up after 45 minutes, like Pat Spillane saying this week, Kerry's system of play is like Britain's Brexit policy, just make it up as you go along. That they don't seem to have a defined style of play, that nobody there really seems to know what the plan is when they go out on the pitch. And for a young team, that's probably more damaging than it is for a Kerry team of 10 years ago.
Yeah, but they don't have a defined style of play, because I don't think Eamon has a lot of the, like the seven new debutants coming in this year, I don't think he knows them well enough to a degree. It's not that he's been with them under 21s and everything else. And of course he's methodical and he's perfectionist in everything he does. But it takes time to see who's going to blend in a certain way that I want you to play. But the whole thing is, if you change your full back line in your last game, it creates a certain air of kind of uncertainty, because you're not comfortable. They're not comfortable in, you know, when you have the likes of James O'Donoghue being taken off 2 weeks ago at the 51st minute, and, you know, one-time player of the year. Kieran Donaghy, one-time player of the year, not even starting in the previous game, but saving them the last day in the last 90 seconds. There's just, again, everyone is talking about leadership, and it's coming, you know, it's the young guys that's showing the leadership. For me, Thomas Sullivan the last day was absolutely phenomenal. Absolute Sean O'Shea from his free taking and everything else. And again,
Is that part of the problem, that actually the players who played well during these couple of games, by and large, are some of the youngest guys? Like David Clifford has ticked every box that people would have
every
expected.
Every box on scraps. And it's again, the one, Kerry need to get their midfield platform and foundation right. And I do think there's too much of a clash of similarity between the likes of Jack Barry or David Moore or Anthony Maher coming in. I actually think one thing that could change the whole Kerry perspective, if they put in a runner, if they put in, someone that's the counter, the opposite to a David Moore in Highfield, that someone, if you look at all the main teams, they have major, major athletes, runners. I'm not saying that.
And do they have that player?
I think to someone the likes of Ty Morley, who's been out. I think he has that dynamic surge and strong running from deep, whether he's been playing centre back or what. I think someone like him could actually fill some sort of a berth there to keep things. You know, they have the players inside, but they need the platform around the middle, but they need the guys bombing forward. Thomas Sullivan the last day, he's your corner forward. They need a little bit more depth. You have Shane Enright back from, you have Morley. So it's something like that, I think, that needs to be thrown in. But these guys have hung on by their fingernails in previous years in history, and they've went on to flourish from it. And it's as Jason said, Clarny is a major benefit.
Is the gap between the National League and the Super Eights has nearly killed Kerry in some ways. Like, they were, like, in the National League, did they go beyond the expectation of how they were going to perform? Some of these young guys were just, they were outstanding throughout the league, and the expectation then was that they're going to continue on like that right through the championship. But there is such a big gap between the last National League game that they played and the having to perform at such a high level in the Super Eights. And replicating that form just hasn't happened. And then if you're not performing in the Super 8s, there's no time to tinker. You don't have it. You don't have time to go back to the training ground and spend 2 weeks, you know, trying to recreate scenarios that didn't work and fix them, or to try to work on, this is the situation you're going to be having to face up to the next day, and this is how you have to address it. There's not an awful lot of time for that. Mm. You know, that the turnover is massive. So I think Kerry have maybe shown that in the Super 8s, you need to be coming into it absolutely flying. And if you're not, and if in the middle of it you have to tinker things an awful lot, you know what? You're probably not going to achieve that. It's really challenging. You know, and last day they tried to do that with a lot of changes.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, they're under a bit of pressure when the O'Shea's are talking them up, as Dara is in the Irish Times today, saying, we're feeling good down here. We have a championship game coming to Killarney, Puck Fair around the corner. The Kerry team starting to come together and a bit of heat left in the summer. Life could be a whole lot worse.
I think he's got sunstroke in the last couple of days. I remind a couple of weeks, because there's no doubt about it. And Eamon Fitzmaurice knows it. And it's out of all the counties in the country, the knives are being sharpened left, right and centre.
And is that where there's a real opportunity for Kildare, that if they can get a decent start, that suddenly the crowd can turn?
Well, you know what? If the crowd does turn, and if you look at the start that Kildare had against Galway, and again, it's hard for Keane O'Neill to go, you know what? But you know what? It's been a very positive year from a Kildare point of view. You know, they might even have a night over on after the game and make a weekend of it, and the last hurrah. Good, you know, the morale is positive, no matter, even on the back of the defeat. Yeah. If Kildare get a flying start, and they're athletes, they're not going to be tired in the first 40, 45 minutes. They will actually go hammer and tongs, and it could be if as Paddy Lauderdale used to say, if the Kerry crowd turning yet, they're like a bunch of monsters.
Jason, from a purely motivational point of view and in management, the job facing Keane O'Neill to get the players up, if they go to Killarney and they win, they can look back at a very good season, having beaten Mayo and Newbridge, having come through the qualifiers after a hugely frustrating start for 6 months of the year. That motivation, is that enough for Keane O'Neill to be able to get a performance out of his players?
Yeah, but I think so, because it's not just about that game. It's also about playing Kerry in the National League next year, and it's about building. The guys from the Kildare team that won the Leinster Under-21, there's so many of them now involved that over the last number of years, it's been a process for Keane to get them ready for these big, really key, important games. So I think there is. There'll be hunger in the group, belief in the group, that, yes, they've lost a number of games this year, but so many of the games, they've only lost them by, you know, just a couple of scores. So the belief will be there, and they'll be desired to beat Kerry. It's not too often that Kildare have beaten Kerry, so I think they'll be very much up for it. And there will be a nice few Kildare fans travelling down to the game. Sure, they travel everywhere following the team. Like, they're brilliant supporters for travelling with the guys. So I think they're going to be up for it. And they'll have guys, changes that Keane will make during the course of the game. They'll add pace and legs to the game. It's not just the starters. They're a phenomenally athletic squad of players.
No pressure. That's the thing. Mm. There's not a bit of pressure on them, and it's once you there's any pressure on you, the mistakes will come a little bit more frequent. And I think it's good that you have games that are meaningful. Teams, you know, bar the Roscommon and Dublin game.
Should the Roscommon people get a day out, Dave? Isn't that all that matters?
You know what? It's up in the country, and it's a bank holiday weekend.
All right, Jason, good stuff. Thanks a lot for joining us. Your predictions, which two teams are going to come out of these games on Saturday evening?
For me, I think that Monaghan are going to be Galway.
Right.
I think there's just more at stake there. And in the other game, I think home advantage for Kerry, and the fact that they can still get there to the semi-finals. I'm going to go with Kerry.
Yeah, and of course, if Monaghan beat Galway, Kerry's win will mean nothing. DB, how do you see it?
I think Galway know that they need the easier route, and it's an absolute golden opportunity, and it's a carrot for them to stay away from Dublin and take the likes of Donegal or Tyrone, who they won't be afraid of. I think it's going to be a Galway and Kerry win.
All right, and it'll go down to the wire.
We'll have to get the calculators out.
All right, good stuff. Thanks a lot for coming in the studio. Still waiting for details, of course, on DB's trip to New York next May, but I will come to that in the next couple of weeks, I think.
Ready to go, nearly ready to go.
All right, good stuff. Tomorrow night, we're back. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's games. Brian McGuigan and Brendan Devaney will be with us.
GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.